Welcome to The Mindful Mentor, a space dedicated to building a culture of self-awareness and empathy in business, life, and family. I'm your host, Bree Gordon, board-certified and trauma-informed music therapist, community educator, and advocate. Join me as I interview professionals, parents, partners, and community members from around the country. Hear their stories and feel connected. Thank you so much for joining us. You are listening to The Mindful Mentor. I'm your host, Bree Gordon. And as always, I just want to start the show off by expressing my appreciation for everyone who has been following this project. If this is your first time listening, I'm so glad that you found us. Just so you know, the next hour you can expect to have a really interesting perspective and a really amazing storytelling. That's what I try to bring to this program, is just to connect our audience with stories that focus on self-awareness, stories that focus on empathy and compassion towards others. Because at the end of the day, that's what's important. And while this podcast has grown and flourished during the last few months when we've kind of been quarantined and focused on ourselves and on those that are close to us without distraction, it wasn't the original intent. This was an idea that I had before we knew this was coming. But you know what? Things don't happen by accident, right? And so I think that this is a really amazing opportunity for us while we're navigating so many different challenges and so many different things thrown our way that we don't have control over, to take this time to learn as much about ourselves and our loved ones as possible. So again, if it's your first time, please do check out the rest of our shows. We have so many different topics that are covered on this show. We've had some really difficult conversations that kind of mirror some of the things that are happening in society and in culture. And I want to hear from you all too. So Mindful Mentor Bree is how you can find me on Instagram. And let me know if you're having some of those difficult conversations, if there's anything specific you'd like to hear on the show, or if you have a story that you would like to have told, get in touch with me. I want this to be an ongoing conversation. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest today. I talk a lot about the SHINE program that I'm involved with in my day job as a music therapist, where I'm a part of a program that runs trauma-informed camp programming and after-school programming for students who are survivors of gun violence. And one of those programs is through SHINE MSD. That was another episode, actually, on the podcast. We talked to our board president and our art therapist from SHINE. One of the things that's been really cool about being a part of this organization is that it's all about community partnerships and collaboration and this understanding, like we talk about on this program, of mutual mentorship. We are all better for the work that we share together and we learn from one another. So one of the community partnerships led me to meet our awesome guest today, who came into the camp to help the kids do some music production and some songwriting, learn music technology, which was an awesome experience for the kids for a few summers in a row. And I've been following his work, following it on Instagram, and I love to see this person constantly evolving themselves, redefining who they are as an artist, as an entrepreneur, as a business person, and as a mentor, which fits so well into this show. So I'm so excited. This is the coolest introduction name we have ever had on this show. Gerald Nova Sound Campbell. He also goes by the artist name of G Nova Sound. He's a published poet, a music composer, a recording artist, a youth mentor, and now a financial freedom mentor. So excited to have you on. Thank you, Gerald, for joining me today.
It is my pleasure, Bree. Thank you for the invite. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, the title alone, I mean, this could be the whole show of just walking us through everything that you do in your day to day. I resonate with you a lot. I see you wearing a lot of different hats, but I see you wearing those hats with joy and with excitement and with a passion that's really infectious. So talk to me a little bit about your journey and how it's led you into this new adventure of being a financial freedom mentor.
Okay, so I want to start with what really inspired me to be a mentor when I knew that I wanted to help people. I attended Full Sail University in Orlando, Florida from 2011 to 2013. I got my bachelor's degree in recording arts, and when it was time to graduate, I didn't know what I was going to do next. Like, I had came up with the idea of Nova Sound, but I just didn't know. You know, some students wanted to be artists, some people just wanted to be studio engineers, but I knew I was more of a hybrid of something. And, you know, I over the course of the past 7 years, I just paved my own way, you know. But when I think about the pitfalls and the mistakes, I think had I had someone just to tell me, hey, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, you know, financing a car straight out of school that was more than the money I made per year was a bad decision, you know, and I didn't learn that till my late 20s. But if I would have had somebody tell me that in my early 20s, it kind of would have sped up my process a little bit. So that's ultimately why I decided to become a mentor. And now it's blossomed into a financial freedom mentor when I became financially free. And my mission in life is to help as many people become financially free and pursue their dreams the same way I've been able to do mine.
That's awesome. I had my husband as one of my guests on the show, the only person I could interview not through Zoom and actually have in the same room with me. And he's a financial advisor. And, you know, I just thought, and this was fairly early on in this new normal that we're adjusting to.
Right.
And I was realizing the struggles that I was having personally, honestly, specifically as kind of a gig economy artist who had been piecing together this salary for the last 12 years as a music therapist, as a church performer, as a gigging artist at, you know, bars and restaurants, as a music teacher, and realizing that when that was going away or was being affected by what was happening, I wasn't just feeling a financial stress. I was feeling a real emotional stress. I was feeling a trauma response even when I didn't have the same relationship with my art, with my work, with what I do, and receiving that financial exchange. So I had asked him to come on and kind of just speak to, I can't be the only one feeling this way and feeling this compounded anxiety around our relationship with money. And it was a really, really popular episode. I was getting a lot of texts and messages, specifically from a lot of millennials and younger generations that were like, I hadn't thought about money in that way. And I'm really excited to take this conversation even a step further with you because you've been on both sides of this.
Yes.
So that's really amazing. And the last interview I had, I was telling you, was with a friend of mine who's an opera singer. And we were talking about the grief and loss of not being able to do the work that you love to do, that we as musicians are so passionate about doing. But I think part of that grief and loss can be felt by the financial aspect that is affected as well. Being in the music world, how have you seen that show up for artists?
So as far as the grief and loss is concerned, the nonprofit that I work for is called the Motivational Edge, and that's how I connected with Camp Shine. And, you know, I've seen, so a lot of my network is artists as well. And for the performing artists, they're really going through withdrawals, right? Because that is not, aside from the financial side, it's just a way that they were able to express themselves, which is something we give back to the youth in the community, right? As far as the recording artists, they're locked into the studio. You know, I put out an EP about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. But as an artist, like, you're right, we do piece together our income. We piece together our salary. We're looking for different opportunities, and it can feel a little limiting. So what I tell people is continue to create. I've been able to continue to create. Your royalty check will compound, right? It's going to take time. Right? It's going to take time. It's going to take years. You're looking at like a 10-year plan. But if you do this because you love this, you know, the results will come. The results will come.
Absolutely. I think having that bit of encouragement along the way, it goes a long way, you know? We only do this because we love it.
Absolutely.
So it's easy to fall in love with music and with art and with things that we've kind of been learning and surrounded by from a young age. It seems a little harder to fall in love with financial intelligence, financial drive, financial motivation. What got you interested in this path?
So it's so funny because I was having a conversation with my great-grandfather. He passed about 3 years ago. But I'm 27 now, and I've had my great-grandfather for majority of my life. I've had my great-grandparents for majority of my life. And he would always tell this story about how I used to always find things to go to school and sell. So he said, I've had this entrepreneur spirit for a very long time. And when I became an adult, I began to feel, as I began to study, I read a book called Retire Young and Retire Rich by Robert Kiyosaki. Rich Dad, Poor Dad is his more popular title, but it's in the same series. And as I was going through the book, I began to discover that there was information that was not regularly known or provided to us in high school or in college. And it might not be the fault of the educators, because now I'm an educator now, I understand there are guidelines and certain things that we have to accomplish in a limited amount of time, right? So I took several business classes in high school. But when I really discovered a man named Dave Ramsey, and I encourage everybody to check out Dave's YouTube channel, it totally changed my perspective on how money actually works and how money flows. So those two pieces, Retire Young, Retire Rich, was actually recommended to me by a gentleman named Brad and Full Sail's Career Development Department. So I encourage the youth and the adults to be go-getters. You don't know what you don't know. Get out and find it out. And when I found out these two pieces of information on how to manage debt and how to create different streams of income, it just ignited something inside of me. And I said, I have to teach people how to do this.
What does it mean to you personally to be financially free, to have financial freedom?
Okay, so I will give financial freedom to definitions or two avenues, two lanes, right? So anytime I give a presentation, I go through these four things, and it's very important that people understand these four things. You have broke, where you don't have any money. You have paid, when you begin to make money, right? And a lot of times people get paid and they think that they're the next thing, which is rich. Rich is when you're making an enormous amount of money, right? Paid and broke, you might still be check to check, but wealthy is when you can leave your life's work behind for your children. Right. And they can, and the work you did maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, like Michael Jackson and Prince, can continue to fund and take care of your legacy, your livelihood, the livelihood of your children. So I break it down to two things, rich and wealthy. I would say that rich is a little subjective because not everyone wants a Lamborghini. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a kid, I was all Lamborghini was the best thing, but you got to maintain that car, right? It's not an asset. Right. As much as it's a liability, because suppose someone swipes your Lamborghini on South Beach, you know, right? There's the values gone. But then wealth is more important. Like, you work your whole life. You want to be able to give your children something, your grandchildren something. You want to be appreciated for generations. And with the internet and this digital age, we now have the information to make that a reality. So financial freedom for me would be, you're beyond living paycheck to paycheck, and you can give to people. You can be a light for people who don't know. Because I believe the stat is 11% of the world's population lives in extreme poverty. And imagine being in extreme poverty and not knowing that you live in extreme poverty. Like, this is just normal life for you. So that's what financial freedom means to me.
Why do you think it's so important to start with the youth? And I know you were talking about this a little bit, how you kind of came to this place where you were talking to the youth so much. Maybe it was as, you know, as a musician or however you were approaching it. But what do you think makes it so important to start the conversation with finances?
For one, because it's fun. They enjoy money conversations, right? I don't think they necessarily understand the full value of money. So I typically start with $100. Let's say if I gave you $100 and I let you go in the mall, tell me what you'd buy, just so I can gauge where they are, right? And that's a fun thing for them. It's exciting. Like, it's almost visualizing. They're visualizing something that could be exciting, especially at this time, because a lot of my classes are done on Zoom. So when we do that activity, they get really excited. They like the idea of money. because they might not know how to define it, but money, having money symbolizes freedom for a lot of people. So I start young because high school, I began to discover these things because I was in business programs and business electives. But a lot of times they just don't know. You know, we have this idea, if you get money, spend it, right? Not invest it, not grow it, but spend it. So I try to give them ideas early. Let's plant the seeds early and begin to water them. And the same, you know, the same thing applies to the music. A lot of times we have students who say, and I'm sure you experience this all the time, I can't think of any particular student in the programs we've done together, but then it's like, well, I don't want to do music. I don't want to do art. And then you say, well, have you tried it? And then it's, no, I haven't. Do you mind trying it? And then two sessions later, this person begins to blossom and they're dancing or they're singing. And it's a totally shift, change of perspective. So I kind of see the money as synonymous. You know, it's actually essential. What I heard a gentleman, his name is Gary M. He's from Trinidad. He said, a lot of people don't understand money, and money largely is in control of the systems that control our lives. So if you don't understand money, you cannot control your life. So I want to start with the understanding very early, no bias, raw information, and let them make their own decisions.
Wow. Yeah, that leads me well as to where I wanted to go with this. You know, I feel like we've been having this conversation, no matter what the topic is, whether we're talking about substance abuse, whether we're talking about any kind of trauma or overcoming something, this idea of living in survival mode has been coming up in almost every single conversation we've had. And I do think that's very tied to finances. And the world that I know as an adult and as a musician and part of like an artist community, I know it's not exclusive to that, but it's something that I observe in myself and among my friends, is we do tend to go into this, like I said earlier, because we love it. It almost feeds us, you know, it fuels us, but it's not everything. But we get so in this mode of, as long as I can create, as long as I can be a part of that, I'm okay. And so we do work for survival. And we get into this mode, and you know, I'm just about next month going to be in my mid-30s. So it's served me this far, right? But at the same point, I do have I do understand, probably being married to a financial advisor who reminds me, that is not sustainable, that just working in survival mode and living in survival mode is not the long-term plan. How do you have that conversation with someone who's kind of stuck in that cycle of, as long as I'm doing enough to get by, to survive, I'm okay? You know, how do you have that conversation with someone to look at the next step?
So that's such an amazing question, because I recently joined a network of people who have been able to mentor me on what it really means to be financially free. And a lot of times I realize a lot of us, even if we will have, I'll compare it to a kid who's at an amusement park, right? While you're walking through the amusement park versus when you're on the rides, it's a different experience. So when you're on the ride, you're at this emotional high, right? Whether it's excitement or scary, at this emotional high. And when you're walking out the amusement park, you're a little more mellow, but you might be excited. So a lot of us go from survival mode to thriving mode off and on, even me. So I try to avoid that survival mode altogether. And I told myself a few weeks ago I would never worry about money again, and it materialized. So when someone's in survival mode, what I want, the idea that I want to introduce them to, is their higher self. I heard a man say it to me a few days ago. What would the 10 times better version of yourself say to you right now? Right? So I want to, especially an artist, because imagine what you would be able to do and you would be able to accomplish. Imagine what would come from inside of you if you went from surviving to thriving. Imagine how a lot of times we do this art because we want to be loved, appreciated, but so that we can influence generations of people. Imagine how much more inspirational your art could be if you were to go from survival mode to thriving mode, right? And what does that take? Sometimes that takes a few years of being uncomfortable, right? I give you a good example. I got a friend who only wants to compose one type of track. But then I introduce him to the idea that if you pivoted a little bit and you did these type of tracks, it could double your income. You're still getting the enjoyment of making the art, but let's say that you were able to produce 10 of these, get them placed, and now you could just focus on what you wanted to do. So I want to introduce them to the idea of thriving, you know, that budding flower, you know?
So
I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, absolutely. And also makes me curious, what does that look like for you personally?
So when I was in survival mode, it was very, very tough. So, man, I do believe that we are higher beings. Some people would say gods or angels, some along that line, spiritual beings living a human experience. And about 7 months ago, on my 27th birthday, I released the album called Yuhuru. Yuhuru Swahili for Freedom. So for me, it was 2 years of working day and night. I hadn't released music, but maybe a few instrumentals. And when I was finally done, I put it into this album. I took off 3 months. I didn't do any gigs. I taught classes about 2 days a week, and I just locked into the studio and I created this album. And I've been syncing the lyrics for the past 3 days. And when I look back at the things that I said to myself on this album and what I put out into the world, and I look at how I'm living now, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. This is absolutely abundant. This is unbelievable that I said these things and now they are reality. So what does it look like? And I know a lot of people, right? And this is very, very common around the world, but my family's from Jamaica, so I hear this from a lot of Jamaican people, and I also hear this from a lot of American people. You want to be able to take care of your mother. That's a big thing for our students as well, Bree. I'm sure you experienced, like, it's my mom. If you ask them what a lot of our motivation, number one is our mom. I'm sure that makes our dads pretty upset, but our mom is number one. So what is abundance for me? Here's $1,000, mom. Right? Imagine how that makes her feel, right? All the sacrifices she made for me in her life, and now I'm able to do that, right? Even something as simple as a Mother's Day appreciation post, and she can now look at her son and say, wow, my mom had me when she was 18. I'm sure she was in a rut, and she didn't know what was going to happen, right? I could have became a statistic. But being that I push myself to the point where I'm in this abundance phase, that imagine how good that makes her feel, right? And I know that's what a lot of our students want to accomplish. So that's what abundance looks like. Abundance looks like art, enjoying your life, creating the way you want to create, and not feeling limited.
I love and I know this podcast is going to be received as audio, but I loved watching your face as you were just telling that whole story just now. And everything changed. You just lit up. And I could see how meaningful it is for you, which, gosh, aren't we the luckiest people in the world that we get to do jobs that make us smile like this?
Absolutely.
It's really cool. A couple things. I love that you mentioned when you were talking about just generational connection. And earlier you were talking about financial freedom and wealth and stability as being a legacy. And mm-hmm. You're really carrying on your mom's legacy
right
through this and evolving it, right? And it's something that you're both proud of, which is a really beautiful thing. I want to know what some of these lyrics were that you wrote that came back to you that you realized you were living out.
Okay. So I wrote a song called, it's the second song on the album called Crazy Story. And I simply break down my story, right? Of all these times, I'm originally from Queens, New York. My mom's from Kingston, Jamaica. So I began the story by saying she was 18 years old. And I know my biological father, but my birth certificate still has a blank spot on it, right? And then later on in the verse, I broke down. I don't know if I was a clumsy kid, but I busted my face. I busted my head multiple times. I've had 150 stitches in my face, right? And when she was 18, people told her to have an abortion. So when I look at my life story in that first verse, all the way to the last verse, 26 years old, I was so adamant on getting out of debt and becoming financially free that I would sleep on the ground between jobs. And I tell my students and the adults, the young professionals, I call them young professionals that I mentor, who are talking about financial freedom, that Dave calls it gazelle intensity, right? I have a friend named from I have a friend from Chicago, and you know the crime rate in Chicago is out of control. So whenever he gets down on himself, I say, think about all the people that are where you came from and want to see you succeed, or all the people that are where you came from and didn't survive, right? So those are the kind of lyrics. And some of the music might feel a little depressing because it's in a minor key, but I'm always talking about upliftment. You know, I can't help it. So the way I ended the second verse, the third verse was, I said, Merrick Boulevard and 219th. My mom was born in Jamaica. She grew in Far Rock. 18 years old when she found out she was knocked. I grew up in a basement. Life was hard knocked, and I got to proceed with caution because people told her to have an abortion. I got people in my life that's important because without them, I could have been an orphan. And I often think about how life hit it and opinions can cause a distortion. I was real small. They call me half pint. Now half pint is more than half as nice. I got halfway out, half the people from my block serving half their life extortion. So I simply broke down what I believe she was experiencing because my mom doesn't really talk about it too much. And then I ended the song, said, 6 years old, I was sleeping on the ground. 26 years old, I'm back sleeping on the ground, dreaming of a big bed of money that I made from going Nova Sound, and it's over now, right? So I hit my breakthrough. And that's one of my favorite songs on the album. Absolutely favorite. It's called Crazy Story.
If someone could just like rap or sing these things to me, I would understand them. Like, I love that. I love that you just equated your financial awakening, this unlocking for you of what's important, what I need to get there. Here's the path laid out. And it was through song lyrics that you wrote. It's brilliant. That's so cool. And thank you for being so vulnerable in sharing that story with us. Sounds like you've already obviously come to that place that you're sharing it in your music.
Yes.
You've shared it with the world, but
absolutely. And that is what I love about organizations like yours, what you do, because ever since I got with the Motivational Edge, I have been able to dig deep. That musical therapy is a real thing, you know? That art is a real thing for these young people and these adults. A lot of adults don't realize they need therapy as well.
Absolutely. That's one of my goals, too, with this podcast is what I see in the work that we do is that the more that folks share their story or that we can share our story, it allows more. It's like throwing that rope out to grab, right? It allows to make those connections. I think about times that we've even had in camp where a kid will choose a song and not really tell us why they chose that song, but because we know music, we're making some inferences. And then a student on the other side of the room will say, I get that. I feel that way too. I've been through that too. And if they didn't have a way to express it or to share it, whether it was through words or through art, those connections couldn't have been made. So there's a lot of power in what you've chosen to do and to share your story through music and to share your story through mentorship so that other kids can see that they're not alone. That's really powerful.
I love that. I love that. Absolutely. And, you know, with the population we deal with, some of them came up in foster care and some of them survived a school shooting. This is serious for them, you know. So I love the fact that we can provide something safe and be relatable.
Tell me about a time when you've been working either as a youth mentor or as a financial freedom mentor or maybe just as a teaching artist that you've realized how important that connection is, that you realized that you shared something or were open to a conversation that just made something click for a student?
That's a great question. So there was a young man in a foster home. And for me, the foster home was new territory because I was used to doing classrooms and campuses, but in a foster home, it's a lot more personal. And then I realized that the fact that this young man didn't have a dad or a male role model, it was hard for him to even take direction from anybody. But because he saw me more as a brother than a father figure, like his foster parent, he was more open to me, right? And that's the unique thing about what we do, because we're kind of like a friend, right? When you come in with the music therapy or the mentorship, we're kind of like a friend. So the way I connected with him and the other young men in the foster home was through basketball. I love basketball. And it allowed him to grow. It allowed him to open up. It allowed him to, there were instances where he would cry about things. You know what I mean? And I really appreciate being able to be, to not be the vehicle, but drive him to a point where he could figure out why he was acting out. And people would never think that sports would do that for someone, right? But it allowed him to open up that passion and be able to relate with more people and just look at himself. Why am I doing these things? Why do I feel so prone to destroy things? Why do I want to fight people? And, you know, just still being that big brother and how do I say, playing sports with him and mentoring him through basketball, it allowed him to do a lot of work on himself.
I love that story. And it reminds me of our other connection, our mutual love and affection for Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, don't get me started. That's a whole other hour. My husband will listen to be like, oh gosh, you said magic words.
Is he a basketball fan or no?
My husband's a huge basketball fan, but I am a huge Syracuse fan.
Okay.
So that was our bonding. That was actually the moment we kind of looked at each other and realized there was something there. Is when I asked at an event, do you have televisions? Because March Madness is on and I can't be here unless we're going to watch the basketball games. And that was love at first sight for us. So my mom, because you were mentioning about your mom and her mentorship and what she's sacrificed for you, that was probably the biggest connection that we had. Was the fact that my mom volunteered as a basketball coach for the local community center and was the first woman to do so. And oftentimes, you know, we were the only white people in the room, and my mom was just leading the way as far as teaching me from a very young age that sports, that kindness, that empathy, that taking the time for someone is what matters. And I do include sports in that, because honestly, that was the common ground, that it did not care what you look like, where you came from, how much money you had in the bank, what your religion was, what school you went to. When we're on the basketball court, you're teammates and you figure this out together. And by the way, I am not a good athlete at all, which is why I'm really glad that I did so well in music, because yikes, that was not going to go very far. But I learned so many valuable lessons growing up in that environment and seeing that modeled for me by my mom. And I talk about it a lot of, you know, I observed her. I watched her going to pick up the teammates that didn't have a ride and making sure that they had sneakers that day and making sure we stopped at McDonald's and got dinner on the way home if that's what was needed. And so many little things that I learned through being a part of that community center basketball team, I'll carry with me the rest of my life, you know?
Absolutely. And
those are just lessons, and they can get applied to so many different things. So when you said earlier, who knew that we could learn this through sports? If you know, then you know, right? to quote a hip hop line, if you've been through that experience, you know that it's so much bigger than just the sport itself.
So much bigger. And like you said, the things that we experience from that age, you know, that tender age of 6, when we really start recording things, to 16, mold who we are. Mm-hmm. So that's why I love what we do, because I might tell him something, you know what I mean, very, very simple, like watch your language. And when he's in certain environments, that will resonate with him.
Yep, absolutely. And just having that positive role model in their life too, even if they're just viewing it as a friendship.
Right.
you know? And sometimes, honestly, it's not just someone that's older. We've been talking about this in some groups I had this week. Sometimes your hero or your role model is someone younger than you, you know, that's just exhibiting characteristics and attributes that are something that you want to emulate in your own life. So I love that. And specifically, obviously, I know you've been working with the youth, but now that you've put your music out there to the world, you have no idea who it may make an impact on.
Absolutely.
So going back to this idea of transitioning or still keeping the core of being an artist and moving it into financial freedom, what is your goals for this program? What would you like to see in terms of mentorship as you're helping others meet this freedom from financial strain?
Okay, awesome. So what I've done with my company is I've added a sixth division, and the sixth division is called Novasound.vip. And what I want to do, because I've been able to partner with a platform that has given me access to six-figure earners, seven-figure mentors, and it totally has changed my perspective on life. Again, you know, I'd much more to be discovered. It's like a glass of water, right? If I tell you I needed to cook something with this glass of water, like pasta, and you're like, that's simply not enough water. You can't get it boiling with that. It's going to evaporate. You need more water. You have to expand your context. So what I want to do and what I see happening with this is there's a rank in the company or a position company called Platinum 1000. At Platinum 1000, that'll be me mentoring 30 people directly. And then I'll have the support of the mentors above me. And at that point, I believe 30 people who are committed to their financial freedom and their family's legacy, if I could help 30 people get financially free and accumulate wealth to pass down to their children, because some of these people, their children call me uncle, and I don't want to let them down, right? But the first step is them committing to themselves and committing to their, changing their lives the same way I did. Right. So that would be my goal. My goal is 30 people who I can seriously impact and show the way to absolute financial freedom and living their dreams. Now, what I've been told is when I get to 30, I'm going to want to do more. And I believe that. But my vision right now is 30. I want to focus on being the best mentor to 30 people and their families that I can.
And if anyone is listening today and would like to take you up on that or ask you some questions about it, how would they get in contact with you?
Go straight to novasound.vip. You can book a time to talk with me, or you can get started same day.
That's awesome. If someone is interested in following up with your music side and your artist side, how would they get in touch with you?
Amazing. So same, very, very similar approach. You can go to gnovasound.com, which is going to take you to my YouTube, or you can follow me on Instagram at gnovasound. Similar content is shared on both platforms.
Very cool. I love the crossover between the two, because to you, they're not mutually exclusive, right?
Right.
And I love that how you've talked about, again, I cannot get over how I learned about finances through a wrap today. This is just right. Like the most exciting thing that's ever happened. This is how I need to receive all of my information, and then I right. would just be brilliant.
And a lot of people do. A lot of the students do. That's why I bridge the two. If I make a money game, they receive it so much better.
For sure.
Right? Yeah. I could say, here is a virtual 30,000 and you got to build your studio, or you can go get a car, or you can find a way to do both. Now, you might not get the best car, but the studio will make you money, the car will drive you around, and then you can get a better car later, right? So these are the kind of things that, if let's say that this was hypothetically implemented into our school system, this could totally change a lot of people's paradigm. So that's absolutely what I aim to do.
That's so cool. Awesome. So it's become a bit of a tradition at the end of this show to ask what a mentorship moment that stands out in your life. I know you were talking a little bit about earlier when you've noticed that you really had an impact on one of the students that you're mentoring. But I wonder if you look at your whole life and maybe a time when someone was a mentor to you, perhaps, what stands out to you as that moment?
So I have a mentor. Her name is Alaya. Her friends call her Nani. On Instagram at Simply Alaya. She just commented on one of my photos. That's so crazy. She's very hard on me. And they say what you get out, what you put out is what you get back, because I'm hard on people. I'm hard on my students because I believe in them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe in your full potential. So she's very hard on me. And she recommended a book, and the book was getting boring to me, so I told her I stopped reading the book. And then she was very specific. She said, G, you need to be more coachable. I don't want to hear it. And for me, that goes right into being a servant leader, being humble. I need to be more coachable because we don't know what we don't know. So even at the level that I've made it to, I still have work to do. There's still work for me to do every single day. And I believe most adults would agree with that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the best gift we can give ourselves is to stay open and receiving. And there's so much goodness around us yet to discover. And you've mentioned that a couple times, you know, this is who I am today. You know, if we have this conversation in a week, in a month, in a year, there might be new moments to share. There will absolutely be new moments to share, absolutely. But that's great. The story doesn't end with this conversation. But as far as it has come for you is incredible to look back on so far. So in 27, you said?
You're 27? I'm 27 years old, yes.
What you've accomplished in 27 years, it's amazing. And that you stay so open to constantly reinventing and looking for the next best thing it's beautiful and it's inspiring. So I want to honor you for that and inspiring me.
Thank you so much.
I see your Instagram. I see the things that you're creating, the positivity that you put out there. And I know that it just must speak to so many people. So again, one more time, for folks that want to stay in touch with you, whether it's for financial information, for music, to get your album, all the things, how can they find you?
Awesome. So my main outlet, my main platform is my YouTube channel. So if you go to gnovasound.com, that's gnovasound, no S on the end.com. I've got a series I've been working on called Free Game, Financial Freedom for Young Professionals. But it will apply to everybody. I'm almost at 500 subscribers. I want to get to 1,000 before I put the series out, right? And the reason why I set my goal at 1,000 before I put the series out, because I know that over the course of getting those 500 subscribers, I'll become a better coach and a more seasoned entrepreneur. So that's kind of the road I want to take, right? It's kind of like overcoming obstacles before you see them. So gnovasound.com, my Instagram is at gnovasound. And if you want to talk with me personally about finance, maybe draw up a financial plan for you, or you want to join the academy, novasound.vip. I'm super duper excited. Thank you for the invite. What you're doing is incredible. The way you interact with your students is incredible. And I'm just super duper excited for this opportunity.
Thank you. I appreciate your kind words. I can't wait to follow up with you in the next couple months and hear about all the amazing things that you are manifesting, creating for yourself and for others. It is the embodiment of what we talk about here, the beauty of mutual mentorship, the beauty of understanding ourselves, and in turn, understanding and showing compassion to others. So please, anyone listening today, if this is a message that resonated with you, which again, spoiler alert, that's everyone. No one is sitting at home thinking, I have all of the answers. I know everything. There is nothing I could possibly learn, particularly when it comes to finances. Even if you do feel like you are thriving, and that is a beautiful thing, maybe the next step of that is, how do I use the goodness that I have, the abundance that I have, and use it to give back to others? So please do follow up with Gerald. He's a man of his word. He does want to help. It's just part of the core of who he is. And also send this to someone who you might have in your life, your family, friends, circle, that you think could benefit from this message. This is how the goodness grows, is when we receive it and then we share it with others. So again, Gerald, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Everybody, thank you for listening. Take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to The Mindful Mentor. I hope you found comfort, inspiration, or maybe learned something new about yourself during our conversation. If you know of someone who would benefit from this information, please share this episode with them. If you're interested in being a part of the show as a guest or as a sponsor, please contact us at info@mindfulbree.com. If you want to bring this conversation into your community or to your workplace, please visit mindfulbree.com to book an in-person experience. Let's continue this conversation about empathy and self-awareness on social media by visiting my Instagram, mindfulmentorbree. Mentorship is all about constant and lifelong learning and guidance. Thank you for learning with me today.